How many want a word from God this morning?
Amen.
If God gave us a word, would we want to follow it?
Amen.
Maybe we want to do it. Well, last Wednesday night during praise and worship at Lexington at the night of healing and worship, God brought something in me. And I believe it's important for us to get a hold of. I want to share it this morning. But I want to get your agreement. Maybe we ought to do it once we hear it.
Yes.
If you agree from God, right? And so turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching the disciples. And it says in verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they should be heard for their much speaking." And so he says, don't get into just thinking if you say something over and over again, it's going to happen. Now, this is different from confession. What he's talking about is trying to earn something through works. I'll just say it 50 times and then I'll get it. It doesn't work like that. Amen. Now, if you'll keep saying it, your faith will develop and you can receive what you believe for, right? So there's nothing wrong with confessing and even keep confessing. It's where you think you're going to earn it somehow because you just said it enough times. And go over to verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." Now stop right there. Pray like this, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to make a statement that some Christians would have a problem with. I don't think you will. But how many believe we've got to pray to see God's will released on earth?
Amen.
How many believe if we don't pray, if nobody prays, perhaps God's will won't be done on earth? How many look at the earth today and think there's a mess out there? Does anybody believe it's God's will that we elected a Muslim as mayor of New York? No, I don't believe it's God's will. The point is God's will is not always done. The earth is a mess not because it was God's will. Oh, he always wanted the earth to be destroyed, you know, and be in chaos. No. He gave man authority over the earth in the garden. Amen. And man's misuse or lack of use of that authority, misplaced use, has allowed the enemy to come in and make a chaos out of what should have been order. Right?
Yes.
Anger, hate, rage, where there should have been peace. The point I want to make is God's will is not always done on earth. And what I want to bring out of this is God gave man a free will. When Jesus said, pray like this, does everybody pray like that? No, why? We have a free will. In fact, God will never make us do anything. Even Satan's fall in heaven was a result of his free will. God didn't create Satan to rebel against him, cause such death and destruction. He gave the angels a free will. And one third of them decided to rebel against God. And now we have a mess that's been birthed out of that. So God is a God of love. And love gives people a free right to decide what they want to do.
Yeah.
Do you follow me? I didn't make my wife marry me. It was wisdom that caused her to do that. No, love lets people choose for themselves.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying you let your kids do what they want to. You've got the responsibility to guide them,
yeah,
to bring them to wisdom, and sometimes use whatever means of coercion necessary. Spare the rod thing, right? But when a person's a grown-up adult, they have a right to make their own decisions.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And God's the God who created this system and says, I won't make man do anything. And I want to look at some verses just to back this up. Can we do this for just a minute?
Yes.
Because I'm going somewhere. Say, he's going somewhere.
He's going somewhere.
I'm glad you recognize that. Look at Joshua chapter 24. That will be the sixth book of the Bible. Joshua chapter 24. Look at verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, talking about in Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will, we determine, we choose to, we opt to serve the Lord. Did you know nobody made you come to church this morning except Connor? He wanted to come.
Yeah.
Nobody made you come here. You came because you chose to. Now, hopefully it's because you want to experience God and receive revelation of the Word. You want God to touch you and fulfill His assignment on your life. But even God didn't make you come. He may have woke you up and said, go to church. But He didn't jerk you by the hair of the head and drag you.
You could have rolled over.
You chose to follow what He was leading. And here we see in the Old Testament, Joshua saying, you choose who you will serve. But as for me, we're choosing to follow God.
Yes.
You have a free will. Look at Genesis chapter 2. Clear back in the beginning of this thing, Genesis chapter 2. Have you got it? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I'm not going to let you eat it. Is that what it says? Oh, I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Let's start it again. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I'm putting a fence around it, and you can't get to it. Doesn't say that. He says, you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now here God said, don't eat of this tree. Right? But he didn't block it. He didn't fence it off. He didn't tackle them on the way. And they chose to rebel against God's instruction. And were deceived, at least Eve was deceived, Adam just rebelled. And they ate of that tree, and of course the curse came upon the earth. God gave Adam free will to choose to follow God or not. And he didn't. Right? God's a God that gives man free will. Look at Deuteronomy. Chapter 30. Just make, and listen, we could do this all day with this topic. See, some people have a doctrine that everything that happens is the will of God. It's all predestined. It's all set out. Nothing we can do to change it. Your life was set in place before you were born. And even though you think you're making decisions, it's all God doing it. No. Now, God foreknew the decisions you would make, but He's not making you make them. Deuteronomy 30. Listen, if God predestined you to make all the decisions you make, He'd be unrighteous sending you to hell if you rebel. Do you follow me? You made me just to burn me? No, He made us with the free will to decide who will serve. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 19. Are you there? I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose, use your free will to choose life that you and your offspring may live. You don't just choose for you. You choose for your descendants. How many were all descendants of Adam? And the choice he made affected all of us. And I don't think you're going to get to heaven and point your finger at Adam and say, this is on you. We all need the grace of God, the mercy of God. But he said, choose. I'm setting before you options. One produces life and blessing. The other produces death and curse. You have a free will to choose what you want in your life. Did you follow me? As far as what you're, how you're personally going to respond, react, and determine to do. And in Revelation chapter 3. Just trying to make an initial point here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus speaking, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Jesus said, I'm knocking at the door. I'm inviting you. I'm speaking to you. But you still have the option whether to open the door or not.
That's right.
You have the option to choose whether to pursue God or not. To hear God or not. To obey God or not. God has given man a free will. Repeat after me. God
has given me
free will
to choose life.
And I choose life.
God has given every
creature. Repeat this. God has given every creature
free will
to choose him. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, now go with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Have you got it?
Yep.
Well, let me get there. And verse number... He's verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. Many believe these are the heads of the 12 tribes and the original 12 disciples. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne. A fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. 4 beasts around the throne. Full of eyes. In other words, they're probably seeing everything. I mean, they're experiencing the total goodness of God. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. I don't know what all this represents. I believe we're coming into a time in these end times God's going to reveal what all this means. But much of end time events are written in code form. We don't know what it means yet. Amen. But we know there's 4 beasts around the throne of God full of eyes. I mean, they're seeing a lot. Verse 8, and the 4 beasts each had of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And so, let's read on. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him, the sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy art thou, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Says, there's events going on around the throne of God, including these creatures going, holy, 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 forever. That's all they do. And some people read passages like this, and they think, see, this God, he just demands people show him worship. He demands creation fall down before him. He's such a God full of pride, such a whose ego is insatiable. He's got to have everybody worship him. And I don't believe that. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
I don't believe you get to heaven, you gotta agree, okay, God, I'll lay on my face and say, holy, holy, holy forever, as long as you let me into heaven. It's not like that. Do you follow me? But when I read a passage like this, I start to think about these beasts that say, holy, 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 eternally. I don't know about you, I think I'd get a bit bored. I mean, just me, as I think in the natural. That sounds like that would get old.
Yeah.
You think so? Try for an hour. You sit in your chair at home and go holy, 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 holy for an hour.
Yeah.
You have to get up and get five drinks of water just to keep your throat from drying out. But that's what they do. Now, I don't believe God makes them do that. I made you because I demand worship. I demand people fall down before me, all creation. I made you just to say, holy, holy, holy forever. I don't believe that. I believe he created them knowing they would. But here's what I believe, if you can follow me. I believe because they have free will, it's what they want to do. And I believe they want to do it because there's such an impartation, such an overwhelming flood of the supernatural love of God in the throne room. That's all they can do. Follow me on this. We did all-night prayer for like 15 years on Friday nights. As soon as we get a facility, we can do it again. Maybe God will give us something else. We're going to go back to it. All-night prayer Friday nights, or at least late night. And I've shared it many times, but we would get into a place of worship that I would fall into what I call the don't mess with me zone. That you're not even talking, you're not even trying to think, you're just going, ah, God, you're so awesome. Because the love of God, the presence of God is so supernaturally intense when you tap into it, you can't even function. I mean, I've been in the glory of God before. I was in it once for almost 2 weeks. I couldn't balance a checkbook. My mind wouldn't even go into that natural realm of thinking because God is so awesome. So we're used to living in the natural and experiencing the natural atmospheres, the natural demonic chargings of the air around us, you know, the natural fears and expectations of the curse. And we're not even, most people are never experienced the phenomenal, the intense, the awesome love of God that you can't believe. How many have been there before? That you're sitting there and you don't want to twitch a finger. I don't want to mess with this. Are you with me so far? And I believe at the throne of God, it is so deep, so thick. It's not that God said, throw your crowns down to me. It's like, God, you are pure, unadulterated, uncontaminated love.
Yes.
Just take it off. And the four beasts are around the throne right there. And Jesse the Planet has shared, when he's been to heaven before a few times, that the closer you get to the throne of God, the stronger the power of God becomes. In fact, he says there's a special tree in heaven that if you want to approach the throne, you've got to eat the leaves of that tree, the fruit of the tree. I think it's the leaves. The leaves to have the strength to approach the throne of God. Even in heaven, with the glorified body, you can't do it. God's pure love is too intense to approach, even with a spirit body, a righteous body. And so at the throne, these four beasts, all they can do is just fall down and go, holy, holy, holy. And they're full of eyes, they see everything. They have full knowledge of who God is and what's going on. At least that's how I interpreted and the presence of God is overwhelming. How many would like to live in this? And they can go, holy, holy, holy forever. Sounds boring to me, but once you get in the glory of God, that's all you want to do. You don't want to move. It's so intense. And to do that eternally, wow. I don't believe that's our assignment. That's what God got assignments for us in heaven, right? Work in heaven to do. But yet we'll do it with the love of God all over us. So he's got this intense love available. And I believe to some level we can tap into it now. I have tapped into it. Yes. Several of you raised your hands. You've tapped into it before. You've touched on it. I want to live in it. Yes. I'm telling you, when I first experienced the glory of God, God made it clear to me, you just don't step into the glory, into the intense love of God, and flow in it. You got to learn how to even respond. You can't even function in any normal fashion under the glory of God because it so transforms everything you perceive around you. Jesus on the main line telling what you need. Tell God I said hi, but I'm preaching right now. The intense presence of God requires personal development to even know how to live out of it. Or you'll be paralyzed by it. And the throne of God, they are. They have a free will, but all they want to do is go, holy, holy, holy. Amen. And so, Wednesday night, I saw this. This verse dropped in me, and I started meditating it. And I thought about it before. You know, what are we going to do in heaven? And that didn't sound like the funnest job to me. Not realizing it's the intensity of his love that causes that. And now we know the word says God inhabits the praises of his people, right, of Israel, this people. If we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Spiritual principles. And the Lord dropped in me. I believe it was him. You follow me? That my people are not tapping into my glory because they let the flesh determine when they quit praising and worshiping.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you ready for this part of it? Here's the toe stepping on part of it. Go to Galatians chapter 5. See, God does not have puppets serving him. We're not puppets. We're free will beings. I told you in Galatians, didn't I?
Yeah.
And we were here a week ago. So it kind of flows where we were a week ago. What's that?
Bible study.
Oh, we were there also, weren't we? So we went here last week. In the service, I believe.
Yes.
Verse 14. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Here's the love of God. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. You gotta be in this natural world, you gotta be concerned you don't fall into Christian cannibalism. Competition, jealousy, envy. Allow strife and division. Paul's warning against this. But he says in verse 16, but this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's a war here within you, between your flesh and your spirit.
Yes.
And your soul's the battleground. He said there's a battle going on. These are contrary, the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. I want to tap into all that God has available. And my number one enemy is not the devil. I've been given authority over him. It's my flesh. some of you, but they're both bad. But the flesh wants to dominate your life. And only once you feed your spirit sufficiently, once you feed it the Word of God and time in the presence of God, time in meditation, only once you feed your spirit sufficiently, fasting, does it grow to a high enough level of strength, force, anointing, that it overpowers the flesh. That's why it's so important that we develop a scriptural discipline. We keep bringing the Word in because Jesus is your daily bread. It feeds your spirit. And a weak spirit falls prey to temptation. In other words, it starts to follow the flesh instead of what God's saying. Instead of what the Word's declaring. That's why it's important we stay fueled up spiritually to maintain a spiritual momentum in our life that we can steamroll over these temptations. Because they're out there.
Yeah.
And I don't care. Listen, I don't care how much you've developed yourself spiritually. If you let your tank get low, you can still fall prey to temptation.
Yes. Yeah.
And look at all the high-level men of God that pursued God, developed anointings and giftings, that later failed because they got so involved in preaching, they were not filling themselves with the right things.
Yeah. Yep.
Or they compromised their walk at some level. So it's our job to stay filled. Right?
Yes.
Because the flesh and the spirit are warring within you. The battleground is in your mind trying to get you to fall on. It's like the two little things in the cartoons on your shoulder. Speaking into your ears, into your mind, trying to get you to follow their demands. And Paul says, as long as this war is going on, you can't do the things that you would. And we were talking about tapping into the supernatural love and glory of God. And one of the keys is to worship God until the glory comes on you.
Yes.
But many times the flesh wants to interrupt that. To say, okay, you've done it enough. Okay, we're tired. Okay, I'm hungry. Okay, we're distracted. Okay, how many songs is that now? Let's quit. I want word. I know this because when I first got saved, I didn't even want to go to church until praise and worship was over. Because I just wanted the word. I didn't know there was a tie between my worship and praise and the anointing that would come in.
Yes.
It's not that God demands worship and praise. It's an avenue, a principle by which He will move in and visit us.
Yes.
Why? Because we're saying in advance, we want your visitation. Look at James chapter 1. I'm going to show you a spiritual principle. How many want to hear a spiritual principle?
Yes.
See, I didn't ask for your free will decision. I was going to share it anyway. Of course, you could have went out the door, I guess. James now go to chapter 2. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. I don't want to take time to read the whole passage. But if you're believing something, if you really believe it, you'll act like it's true. Abraham changed his name, or he changed his name to Abraham. Abraham changed to Abraham, meaning father of nations, right? He acted in alignment with his faith. Jesus would heal people. And before they saw the healing, he said, go wash yourself in that pool. Go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they would be healed.
Yes.
See, faith believes what God has said is true. And faith acts on what it believes. Do you follow me? How many believe God inhabits our praises?
Yes.
Three hands went up in the place. Try that again. How many believe God inhabits our praises? I just want other people to see that we do believe that. It's a spiritual law. He says, they're worshiping me. I'm going to move in and visit them. And to some level, the more they worship, the more I'll move in. That's not a hard and fast law. Sometimes it's time to go to the Word. You guys say, okay, I'm going to change the anointing. Yes. Go here.
Let's see the miraculous.
But I'm telling you, what dropped in the other day is too many people let the flesh dictate when it's time to worship and when it's time to quit.
Yes.
It becomes legalistic for them. Okay, I worship God for 10 minutes. It's time to quit. Okay. And you're not doing it with a heart for God or in pursuit of Him. You're doing it just as a... I'm talking about you generically. People do it just as a demand from a God who requires we bow down. It's not like that. Our worship, whether you feel the presence of God or not, is an act of faith that He's going to visit us and that He is worthy. He is glorious. And I believe the more that we're willing to go past the flesh into pure praise and worship, you get on your face if you need to. Get on your knees. Come to the altars. Whatever. Your willingness to do that and not to let the flesh dictate when it's time to get up. Mm-hmm. I understand if your knees hurt or something. You can't worship any longer. I'm talking about just you're bored with it. You're tired with it. You know, holy, holy, holy. I've done it four times now. That you use your faith. Listen to me. That we use our faith to make our flesh shut up, we press in and using our faith, expecting a visitation of God.
Yes. Amen.
I had Karen share with Apostle Schreiner yesterday about the healing she's seen of speaking the word.
Yeah.
And not by having any big name, you know, miracle worker lay hands on her, but she's seen her kidneys restored, her bones become dense. Turn around in her physical body by getting up every morning and speaking the word over her physical body.
Yes.
Now, I'll ask her a question right now. Don't mean to put her on the spot, but I know her answer. Karen, did you do that just legalistically, or did you do it believing it was going to produce results in your life?
I believed it was a done deal.
She believed it was done, so she's speaking it. The word says it. I'm grabbing it. I'm doing it.
Yes.
So she's putting action, the confession is action, to her faith, which results in results. The healing comes. Us determining, I'm going to worship God, and I'm not moving until He visits me. Hey, Mary sent me a message this morning on tearing before God. Waiting on God. You're not moving until he visits you. That you do it. You don't do it just legalistically. You do it for the intent, purpose of a visitation of God Himself.
Yes.
He'll move on that. Back in the late 80s, Apostle Callan, we were in the old church then, called everybody to come, whoever wanted to, free will, whoever wanted to. There's 1,300 people in the church. Whoever wanted to could come to morning prayer from 6 to 7 a.m. I admire Pastor Callan for wanting to get up at six, you know, probably 5 o'clock to get there to lead us in prayer. But he wanted God. And then anybody that wanted to could come and pray from 6 to 7 in the morning. And I didn't know anybody in that church to speak of. I hadn't talked to anybody, but I felt God, he just announced it from the pulpit. I felt God put it in my heart to want to go. You will go. And I never heard that. I just wanted to. Because I wanted God. And we get there and we would just, they led us to pray, walk between the pews and pray. Didn't want to sit on our lay down because you go to sleep. You follow me? Because I was a late night person anyway. So I'm getting up at 5 o'clock to get there by 6 to pray till 7. Then I go to work. That was a have to. And we're meeting, and we would pray for an hour, walk in between the pews, and then we would break, gather together, pray as a group, And Pastor Calvin said, who got something? Now, and there was probably 40 of us. I'm guessing about 40 people showed up to 1,300. And Pastor Jim saying, I got this. Pastor Sherry saying, I got this. And they were in a group, Pastor. I kept going and on. I got this, and God showed me this. I'm going, I didn't see nothing. I didn't see nothing. I didn't hear nothing. And after about 2 weeks, I've shared this many times. After about 2 weeks, I was getting mad. God, how come everybody's seeing things and I'm not seeing anything? I'm not hearing anything. Now, I was. I just didn't know how to recognize it.
Yes.
Because I'm hearing God keep coming. Probably things to adjust in my life and attitude. You follow me? But I want to know something that deals with outside me. Show me something. And so after a couple weeks, we got there. We started prayer, holding hands. It was time to break up and pray and walk between the pews. And I was mad. Because everybody's seeing stuff I'm not. Why am I here? And I said to God, God, today I'm not walking between the pews. I'm going to lay on this pew right here. And I'm not getting up until you show me something. I was going to stay there all day. I'd miss work if I had to, I believe. I don't know if I would have not, but I'm determined. I'm not moving off that pew until you show me something. And how many have never heard this story before? Everybody heard it before? So I lay on this pew. I think it was on the second row. And I'm praying in tongues. And it wasn't long. I just started seeing stuff. In fact, floating by my eyes were closed, but I saw floating past my mind, almost in a movie fashion, was a box of chocolate ice cream. Followed was a box of vanilla ice cream. Devil's trying to get my flesh hungry is what that was, right? And I don't remember the order, but chocolate vanilla ice cream. And I knew inside that was clutter. That was just fluff. And so I cast it down. Kept praying. And I'm not trying to see anything. I just all of a sudden appearing. And all of a sudden, this vision opened up where I saw the intercessors in a semicircle praying. Jesus comes out on a red and white horse and specks them. And it transforms into a water tower. Inside was a city shining with the glory of God. Now going into the details because I've shared it so many times. I've got the pictures that were made of that vision. Because since that time it's been the vision that dictated my walk with God, my direction for God. That if we would get together and pray, let Him approve us as righteous, inspect us. God was going to raise up cities of glory in the end times.
Yeah.
That's why we're in Georgetown. And again, that whole water tower event was my first day here as pastor of Grace Fellowship of Georgetown. I'm preaching this, and the girls in the front were laughing because that same water tower is right outside the window behind me. And we looked up and said, welcome to Georgetown. I knew God sent me to Georgetown, Kentucky. And of course, without taking time to go through the history, it's been confirmed time and time again, including they built it right out the front doors of our last facility. And they changed the name to Kentucky, or Georgetown, Kentucky Treasure.
Yeah.
God sent us to this city. That's why we've got to have a facility in this,
yes,
in this city.
Yeah.
I've had people offer me buildings in Frankfurt. I've seen buildings all in other cities. You could just move right in. Cheap. But Georgetown is a special city God sent us into. You follow me?
Yeah.
And so what I'm getting at is I'm laying on the pulpit. I see this vision. I mean, it goes for some time. Technicolor, 3D. And when it's done, when we're done with our hour, we get in a semicircle, really an oval. Pastor Cameron would be up here at the pulpit. We would go down the center aisle, all of us lined up, and I'm clear down on the side down about where Karen is. I'm determined not to say nothing unless I'm called upon. So Pastor Cameron's praying, and he stops. He goes, Jack, did you get something today? You know who I was. And I got up and shared that vision. They're going like, that's God. Give me a praise time. I knew it was God. And of course, it's been the reason I'm in Georgetown today. over 35 years ago, that vision. And so it resulted out of my determination to go past flesh, not do things as normal, but to place a demand on the Word of God, on the Spirit of God. And it came. And we can get before God and say, God, I'm not moving until you visit me. Again, it's kind of timely. Mary sent me a message this morning from a pastor preaching on tarrying. If you want God to move, sit still.
Yes.
Some people have tarried for years waiting on the move of God. We prayed all night Friday nights. That's all seed we have sown for what's about to take place in this church.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen. But we can't let flesh rise up and make us religious, go through motions. We got to be willing to lay and praise God and not let the flesh keep us from pressing in. So what I'm saying is, if you want the glory, if you want the love, if you want a visitation during praise and worship, don't stop when it's comfortable. Press in. Focus on Jesus. Bless you. Bless you. Even when it sounds like you're being repetitive, even when your heart may not feel like it's in it, do it in faith. But God, I'm believing for a visitation of you right now. And watch what happens. Because God's going to bring a presence upon us. And all we can do is go, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. So what I heard is where we quit praising, where we quit worshiping, individually and even corporately, can be where the glory is truncated, where it's cut off. That's as far as you're going. That's as deep as you're going. See, in Ezekiel 47, I call it BJ 47, because it's the passage. She shared me a vision that she had her dream. It was straight out of that passage. In Ezekiel 47, there's water coming out from the temple. And the further you get from the temple, the deeper the water gets. First, the water's ankle deep. Then it's knee deep. Then it's waist deep. And then it's risen waters that you got to be able to swim in. And we choose, based on our faith, determined actions, how deep into that water we'll go. Jesus is at the door knocking. Do we want to just open it a crack, or do we want it pushed open all the way?
Amen.
And here's the thing. Okay, we open the door. How deep do we want to go past the door? You can go past the door while I go to church when it's convenient. You can say, no, I'm going to church every time the doors are open. I'm going to praise God at home. I'm going to get the Word at home. I'm going to listen to videos. You follow me?
Yes.
How deep do we want to go? Because those are steps of faith that determine how much glory we tap into.
Yes.
And there'll be some. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to push anybody away. There'll be some, we'll just put it this way, that come in this church in the future, that we will move so deep they don't want to follow.
Yeah.
Even in the first century church, they were moving into the miracle power of God. Others were scared to follow.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to be determined. I'm not pulling back. Mm-hmm. Not leaving me behind.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? I'm going all the way.
Amen.
And praise becomes worship. I think worship's the better word. Worship becomes a step of faith we take by faith to go all the way in. Amen?
Amen.
So when you come in, don't treat it as something, well, we have to worship, we have to praise. Reach within and say, I'm going to tap into the glory of God this morning. I'm tapping into the visitation of God today. God's going to speak to me today. And your praise is not something legalistic you have to do because God demands it. It's what you want to do because you're in faith for a visitation that develops such an atmosphere around you. It's all you can do. See, often you want to tap into the healing power of God. Sometimes you got to step out. I shared the story about the migraines. Slamming my head on the dash. There was no anointing on me at that time. There was no, like, ooh, slap your head on the dash. There was a determination. I'm healed and I'm not afraid of pain. I don't know how many times I hit my head on the dash of that vehicle.
Oh.
When I came up after about 20 times, I was healed and they never come back. Was it, I just think I like pain. No, I'm after a result.
Yes.
Same thing with the back that would explode, stomping around the room, jumping. I'm not trying to make myself suffer. I don't want me to suffer. I'm after a result.
Amen.
And my faith's going to make me act on that result. And the same thing is worship. I'm after you, Jesus.
Yes.
But the flesh is warring against the spirit against the flesh. You got to determine who in you is going to be in control.
Yes.
That just sounds too hard. You don't realize the results are supernatural and way outweigh anything you invested in flesh to get there. Way beyond. And of course, the rewards are eternal. Have you got anything out of this morning?